Well, amen. Thank you. Indeed, it is a privilege to be here. I'm honored to take part in this event, and thank Randy for those kind words, and I'll pay you later, but, you know. But it's a delight to be here. God blesses you in many different ways. And as I'm here tonight, I came here this afternoon, and someone came up to me immediately and said, "How is your son?" And for those who don't know, in 1998, our then 16-year-old son ran into a wall of basketball practice and broke his neck. His spinal cord was severed. He became a quadriplegic. And one of the miracles, amongst other things, in that whole ordeal to me is that God has raised up Christians who prayed for him years without fail. And it seems like even now when I go to places, though it was in 1998, they want to know, "How is your son doing?" And he's doing well. He's just started school. Ivy Tech, he wants to do something with computers. His goal is to be able to move out of the house, live independently, and to learn to drive. And that was all his doing. I told his mother earlier, she wanted him to do something. I said, "Leave him alone, because he won't do a thing until he decides he wants it. And once he decides he wants it, he'll work on it." So we appreciate your continued prayers for him. And in fact, we have a number of materials here in a book table down by the 2 and 3 year old nursery. But one of the things we have is a CD that was made. It says, "With You I Walk." It's a song. It was written especially for him and his handling of the neck breakage. And all it sells for $2, but whatever money comes there, it goes to him. So he'll, when I call home tonight, he'll say, "Did you sell anything?" In fact, in January, I took some of them to Cleveland, and I called, and he answered the phone before my wife, and he didn't say hello or nothing. He says, "How did sales go?" I said, "You're the man of the house. You better bring in the bread. You bring the bread, don't come back." So if I'm going to get home, you better buy some of those $2 CDs. But we do thank God for the family of God and all that he's done. It's a great honor to serve Crossroads Bible College that was formerly Baptist Bible College of Indianapolis. Ken Davis is here somewhere. He was part of founding that ministry with the late Dr. James S. Wells and the late Dr. Clinton Caulfield. And God gave me the privilege of joining that team. Ken's now at Baptist Bible Seminary in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. But God has given me that privilege to come alongside of these individuals who've laid this foundation, and we're working. I'm excited to say that our mission training Christian leaders to reach a multi-ethnic urban world for Christ. I feel we're doing fairly well. We got probably about 51-52% African American, 43% white. We got a few Latinos, 2 Native Americans, and an Indian. But I tell my students, "Shoot, man, this ain't like heaven. Where are my Asians? You know, where are my Latinos, man? I gotta, you know, okay, get my, I don't want to get to heaven and be surprised. Let's get it on down here." So you can pray for us in that regard. God is working. We're growing. We have started a new program called the CROSS program. It's an accelerated learning degree. A person with 2 years of education can finish approximately 2 years, taking 5-week courses, one cycle after another one. We had our first class last night, and very first class we had 34 students, so we're excited. I hope to get 40 in the next section in April. So if you want to get in that, come along. Ken Ham tells me he's got groupies, and if you're a Ken Ham groupie, we got Ken Ham coming in May to do a week module at the college. You can take it just conference fee if you want to come. If you want to take it for credit, you can do that. So we're excited. The counseling program, credit for that goes to Brother Walt Willett. We didn't have a counseling major. Walt had a passion for that. He birthed that ministry. He wanted to be NAINC certified. He wanted our students to have that privilege to come through NAINC certified. He has a passion for the urban context of it. And he birthed that program. It's now our largest major. And so we're excited about that. I think we got 19 of our students here this week up here taking this session. So I thank God for it. It's a delight to be with you this evening. And as I was thinking about our subject here and the compassion of Christ, and I was just thinking, you know, as Christians, we sometimes live in deception. And when the eye's on us, we try to live right. When the eye's off of us, we go and do something we ain't got no business doing. And it kind of reminds me, we were sitting around the table as a family, and I got two dogs now. Both of them, my wife and my kids, talked me into it. Them dogs, that's a different story. But anyway, we got two dogs, and they both eat different food. But the amazing thing is, neither one of them like their own food. They want to eat the other dog's food. And so you have to watch them, because you're sitting there, and they're just waiting. And we got this one little Shelton, smart little rascal. Now, he flunked obedience school, but he's smart. And we were sitting around the table praying, and they told him, his name is Larry. How we got? He had that name. said, Larry, you know, stay away from honest food. So he stood there, just wouldn't move. So I said, we'll pray. We bowed our head and prayed. When we bowed our head and started praying, he jumped in the food. I said, man, you're just like, I said, that dog just like a lot of Christians, man. When they think you're looking, they try to live right. And when they think you're not looking, they jump in and do something they got a business doing. Well, I want to tell you tonight, what we're thinking about is living our lives before the all-seeing eye of God. We want to live a life that pleases Almighty God. We want to live our life in such a way that when we die and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, we got nothing to be ashamed of. Whether it was in private or in public, it doesn't really matter, because we've lived our lives for the glory of God. And one of the issues you and I need to struggle with about our own hearts, motives, and desires, and about our actions, is this whole matter of compassion. You know, you and I live in a country that has become very individualistic. Christianity is about me. God saved me, God forgave my sin, he's preparing a mansion for me, and as long as I'm happy and I'm good, everything's all right. But if you read the scriptures, God's going to have a lot to say to us about other people. About us being the channels of the love of God to touch others. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. My proposition tonight is that the community of Christ, those of us who are born again, the community of Christ must show the compassion of Christ, the love, the concern. We must show the compassion of Christ without sacrificing the truth of Christ. I see two extremes and tensions. On the one hand, I see an evangelical fundamental church who divorced itself from any social concerns and just preached the gospel for an individual to get saved and go to heaven and leave everything else untouched. On the other hand, I see a social emphasis. We want to feed them. We want to house them. We want to help them economically. We want to help them all these social ways, and we give them no truth and let them die and go to hell. I suggest to you that biblically there is to be a marriage between these two. I suggest to you that the scriptures are going to teach us that if indeed we've been saved by the grace of God and we're being transformed by the love of God, it's going to make us people who are compassionate, but people who refuse to compromise the truth. I want you to look here in 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, and starting at verse 16, the Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. First thing I want you to note